And welcome, welcome, welcome. Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon, dear listeners. Wherever you find yourself, welcome to today's session of The Home Run. And it is a little bit of a holiday scenario in terms of letting you know that this is a solo mission. This is ultimately just for this particular week, running from today until, just before the new year. In that scenario, ultimately, because we're gonna be having a little bit of a compact and shortened version as well of the Home Run. So we'll be from 4:30 until 5:30 during this particular period. Obviously, and taking into consideration that that your Wednesday and Thursday programming would obviously a little bit holiday-ish. Obviously, taking consideration that we are in the full swing of things with regards to the holiday programming here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. However, I've got to disappoint you guys a little bit. I'm not going to be in a holiday mood for today's session. And that's ultimately just to let you know that we are still going to be, talking certain particular questions and certain particular discussions ultimately that do form part of the everyday developments of everyday Namibian life. Now, just before we start, do remember you can listen to us on your number one, on your conventional radio set. I almost said on your number one talk radio, but obviously that is where you find yourself. You can also listen to us on the Eagle FM application, which is free to download and boost on both the Apple and the Google platforms. And do remember that there's always the Eagle FM website. Free to stream, free to listen through. Ultimately, just remember, if you're doing this through a computer or PC or a laptop, it is a big play button that you've got to enable. If it's through a mobile device like your phone or a tablet, it's a small audio button that you've got to enable, and then you can ultimately stream your favorite programming through each of those platforms. So, starting off in today's particular session, for this Home Run session, if you've been on our social media and you've seen the poster for today's session, we are asking the question primarily in terms of whether or not the minimum wage will actually try to alleviate poverty as it is outlined in the Acts, or the particular gazetted, not Acts, sorry, let me correct that statement, not Acts, but the gazettes per industry that were obviously gazetted by, under the auspices of the Ministry of Labour, in Ministry of Labour and Employment Creation as part of its, let's particularly end there, because the employment creation scenario obviously does not really truly make sense, but we won't question that particular notion. The development obviously comes through that you would have seen obviously or heard on here on Eagle FM's news programs, specifically back on Thursday, Friday-ish, for those of you that caught it a bit late. The developments are regarding the 1st of January deadline 2025, wherein the new minimum wage requirements would be kicking in. Now, technically, for now, what you'd be thinking about is that this is probably only the, domestic workers and farm workers, or as they are known as in the legislation or in the gazette, as agricultural workers. Okay, I don't know. I mean, because agricultural worker makes it pretty big. It expands the framework so far. You could include communal farm workers. You could include commercial farm workers. You could include people that are working on plantations for industrial processes. Would they qualify as a farm worker in that regard? But the designations and the understanding and the descriptions are already incorporated within the necessary discussion there. The peculiarity for our talk, and yes, this is the peculiarity for our talk, dear listeners, because it says in the gazettes that this is about alleviating poverty. The minimum wage installation or introductions is about alleviating poverty. Now, what I'm going to share with you so far in terms of this afternoon's discussion or this afternoon's introduction is that there are already four sectors. So, construction already has a minimum wage gazette. 2023 was theirs last year, was introduced. So, there you go. The security sector, yes, security guards sector, has had this since 2016, technically brought in since 2017, but the date on the document says 2016. So I'll take it from 2016. And then this year it was that of the domestic workers and agricultural workers. So if you were just going to think it's going to be something about farm workers, it would be, you know, you've got to make that scope a little. You've got to widen that scope a lot further, because agricultural worker would obviously also imply potentially, like I illustrated to you, people that are farm workers in communal farm and communal agricultural processes. People technically that would find themselves on plantations for industrial agricultural purposes, and then ultimately the commercial ones. Now, since the particular description itself is outlined in the Gazette itself, the talking point here is that 1 January kicks in. But you'd be asking me, Dwight, so what are the levels? So we've heard of the staggered level that comes through for domestic workers and agricultural workers. It's similar also for the construction worker. However, the security guard sector, they've only been at the $8.75 level for a very long time. Now, the development has been that, and as I indicated to you, you would have heard this report last week, that specifically the security sector are also under this particular pressure point of having to introduce the staggered discussion. They themselves also have a wage order. They've been issued also with a wage order. Now, obviously, the talking point from this is that you would ask, you know, okay, so we're looking at three particular sectors where the workers potentially earn the lowest in the Namibian economy. In the construction sector, it's pretty concise and it's very detailed. I mean, per hour, they've got workings per hour, per cubic meter, per, you know, various illustrations laying it out in terms of what you can do, how you factor yourself in terms of the various particular skill sets within the construction sector, and what your charge can be. You step into the domestic worker and the agricultural worker, and it's not as outlined, which obviously gives you an indication in terms of two particular scenarios. One based upon the amount of skill set associated to construction versus the not so factored in potential skills development discussion in either domestic work or ultimately in the aspect of agricultural work, or what I would like to call it, just basic, you know, being a farmhand, farm work. Because farm work implies literally it's a farm. You would have to designate the aspect of a farm. To say agricultural worker, hence particularly why I illustrated to you a little bit earlier that the umbrella is so wide. Now, there would be many people, and I am also a very, I don't want to call it like a silent supporter of something like minimum wage, because a minimum wage ultimately helps with a lot of things, primarily in a lot of sectors. But when you've asked the question, does a minimum wage actually work? Does it actually achieve the particular result that you wish to achieve? The evidence so far, dear listeners, has been very scary. The evidence that I've had to look up, the evidence that I've had to read up, the evidence that I've had to look at, you know, look in depth at. And one of them primarily is from Indonesia. Now, do remember, dear listeners, that earlier in this year, it was just literally 2 weeks back when Helmut and I had this particular discussion. Well, three weeks, technically. When we had the particular discussion impacting, coming through from, this is primarily about the world of consumption and consumerism around the world. And it was something noted about the Apple versus Indonesia story, when Indonesia told Apple that the latest iPhone cannot be sold in Indonesia because it contains parts which have not been sourced from local Indonesian manufacturing complexes. Now, when you view something like that, for example, Indonesia feels like it has a very strong case to make, primarily because there was a trade commitment made between Apple itself and the Indonesian government when Apple committed to invest $100 million in their economy. And said particular $100 million was all about ensuring that if an Apple iPhone is, or any Apple product is to be sold in Indonesia, that the product is locally made from Indonesian component parts, Indonesian resources like human capital, and Indonesian service providers facilitating the necessary inputs into the final product, which was that iPhone. Step into our discussion of a minimum wage. Now, I once again have to factor in Indonesia to this, because Indonesia is 160, 150 million people in their country. So the potential impact of trying to achieve that was a scenario of, you know, trying to bring as many people out of a poverty bracket into a potential, if I can call it like a comfortable earnings bracket, in terms of where, you know, there is a legislative mechanism that protects everyone across the board, and that what you earn is based upon industry-wide understood frameworks. Now, the fears obviously have been publicized locally by employers, federations, or associations from specific industries regarding the 1 January 2025 deadline in a Namibian context. I mean, there's been the Namibia Employees Federation, and now to also they call themselves the Namibia Security Labor Forum, the NSLF, in that regard, which also comprises of the security guards representatives and the employers representatives. Now, the discussion, dear listeners, that you've got to look at here is the understanding about the people on the ground, versus the understanding towards the people that actually drive something like inflation. Now, why I'm pointing towards these two parties is because these two parties form part of a ecosystem, or ecosystems at large. Your ecosystems, guys, are based upon some people coming with resources at one end and others coming with a different resource, which is their skills, their time, and their intellectual ability to help solve and, you know, commit to certain tasks for the other party. When you view the ecosystem at large, the Security Association president, that being Mr. Diginina Utampama, outlined specifically that they had to rush to the Ministry of Labor and, you know, go and submit documentation based upon their own particular industry analysis. So that was done. The particular talking point from this illustrates also the time frame in terms of adjustment. Now, I asked particular questions pertaining towards this adjustment. For example, one based upon education level and skill set level. The first reason, dear listeners, you've got to take into consideration is you can have human capital, meaning the labor resource. But it's the level of skill set that the labor resource owns or has in terms of potentially delivering the necessary or participating in the necessary economic activity. Why do I say this? Well, if you're going to open up a factory, you're going to have certain particular mechanical devices, machinery, or parts that you would like someone of an adequate educational level to operate. Now, remember, dear listeners, I made mention of there were fears, and I referenced to you the Indonesia component. Because the reason you've got to ask us is that we all live in reality, and if you live in reality, you wish to have practical examples that emanate from the same reality that you are also based in or live in or are, you know, party to. In most parts, specifically in Indonesia, because this is from the Asian Development Bank themselves, in most parts, it had been identified specifically that the employers who had a notion of training or in-house development and training and capacity development for employees actually realized that, okay, so here's what we do. We don't hire a specific employee that has not qualified or met certain particular requirements to participate in this particular function in our entity or in our enterprise. This obviously means that conditions and terms are positioned in the labor market as well. Obviously, yes, because the moment the government sets in a minimum wage, the private sector goes and says, like, okay, so if there's a minimum wage, we realize this would be like a predictable overhead. Yes, once again, it would be predictable. But then they also debate on the same side is that for people to participate in this particular discussion in terms of producing or being part of the economic endeavors that we have, they must have this particular skill set. Now, I ask that question, dear listeners. That's not to the Security Association individuals or the, you know, the parties to the security, the security industry, primarily because education requirements are brought up, as always. They're always brought up firstly. This was significant in terms of the trend analysis. If you've had to look at the first industrial revolution, which has also been some of the talking points that Helmut and I have outlined here on the home run, that in the realm of development or industrialization, there are two things that have to take place. Firstly, you've got to push people from the rural areas away from agrarian lifestyle. You've got to push them to urban areas so they can participate in other industrial aspects or purposes in urban areas. Oh yes, it has generated many, many negatives. I mean, if you really want to look at a picture of inequality or poverty, go and read a Charles Dickens book. I was actually sort of like made aware of it from a Englishman who I follow on YouTube. His name is Gary Stevenson, and he outlined it in a particular talk like 4 or 5 days ago that he was interviewed by another particular platform. It was regarding his book, because he was a banker during the 2007-2008 financial crash, and technically he made his millions from it, from, you know, disaster, financial disaster of countries. And what Gary outlined there, because I've also read Charles Dickens' book, don't worry, Charles Dickens is not for the faint-hearted. I've also read a Charles Dickens' book myself, but it was primarily Great Expectations and Oliver Twist. When you had a look at these particular things, specifically in Oliver Twist, Dickens technically lives in a period wherein the United Kingdom is going through this particular turmoil, this industrial turmoil. What was synonymous back then? Elevated levels of crime. They continuously had to lock, because their prisons were also overflowing with people who did not understand how to work in this new industrial revolution or this new industrial phase, and things were not working for them. Obviously, we are 135 years, 150 years away from when Charles Dickens wrote Oliver Twist. But looking into Oliver Twist, you could see the aspects of, firstly, inequality that occurred within that realm. also reflecting itself here. Also reflecting itself here in a Namibian context. The Asian Development Bank report asked the question of does minimum wage lower or reduce employment and training? Meaning the introduction of a minimum wage aspect. The two researchers that wrote this particular report, it's a 43-page report, but what they outlined here specifically was certain particular worrisome things that I myself also slightly became a little bit scared of. First and foremost is that the introduction of a minimum wage leads to the reduction in in-house training, meaning that the relevance and efficacy of a minimum wage regulations are a persistent issue among policymakers. The key issue is whether the implementation and therefore the increase in minimum wages will adversely affect the employment prospects or chances of low-skilled workers. It's one of the questions, it's specifically the question that I asked in regards to this, because if you are low-skilled, there would be requirements would be brought in for you to meet. You have to meet those requirements for you even to be interviewed, for you even to be able to be invited to participate in the rest of the, you know, in rest of the selection process. Now, where have we seen this particular process exist throughout the whole of the Namibian economy? That's now primarily in the formal economy itself. When you apply to government agencies, departments, ministries, local authorities, when you apply into the private sector businesses, you have to bring and list down on your CV educational levels that you've attained, your particular expertise and also your experiences, and who you are. Dear listeners, this is what it will lead to, specifically for these sectors. The concerns obviously have been coming through from employers, outlining that it will have an adverse effect on their particular their earnings potential. Now, for example, in the security sector, the security sector is a cross-cutting sector, meaning every business, every institution that you go to in Namibia has got a security guard or a handful of security guards stationed at them. We're not talking about police. We're not talking about special field force guys. We're talking about security sector. Security sector. From banking to tourism to even religious buildings or institutions to academic institutions, for example, like Namibia's big three universities. A whole host of them have a security guard stationed outside. Now, if a security guard is stationed outside, dear listeners, that obviously means it's a contract that exists between the institution where that security guard is and the aspect of or the relationship it has with the particular client organization that is hosted there. Now, before we continue, guys, we'll be back right after this short break. Stay tuned.
It's the time of year for festive savings at ShopRite. Discover merry deals and get big savings on all your holiday essentials. Shop and save on products like 1.6 kg Real Good Chicken Frozen Whole Bird with Giblets for only NAD$78.99 and 1 litre Danone Ultra Mel Custard Flavoured Dessert or Variants for just NAD$32.99 each. Give more this Christmas with ShopRite's unbeatable prices, making your holidays extra special. Offers valid until 25 December, only at ShopRite. Lower price you can trust. Always. ShopRite's Lucky Santa gives you the chance to win your shopping for free. Simply purchase 3 participating products and check your till slip for details. Don't miss out. It could be you. Promotion ends 25 December. T's and C's apply.
Now, coming back, dear listeners, there from the quick ad break right there, and just letting you know, we're stepping into the second half of this Monday session of the Home Run here on your number one talk radio station, that being Eagle FM. Now, firstly, just before we continue, there is an opportunity, a slight opportunity, for callers' contributions if you wish to come through. That is at 083-288-401. You can call through. And primarily, it will start technically from now. The particular aspect is also that I have to make a particular request. We've got to contain it and keep it as short as possible. Just let us know what you're talking about. And primarily, where you're calling from in that regard. So, the efficiency of minimum wages. Now, remember, what I'm citing is a report from 2008. They notioned here that another point is the issue of detraining. Now, detraining is a very scary term to hear, because this is ultimately where a business, because what they noted here in Indonesian aspect, when a minimum wage was introduced, detraining started occurring in Indonesia, specifically where businesses were no longer investing in upskilling or training programs for their employees. When the minimum wage was not there, the businesses had it, and they continuously upskilled and trained employees. Now that a minimum wage was brought in, the businesses took that way because they went, well, you know what? We will repurpose the budgets associated to these particular educational activities into what? Trying to retain or hold on to the best of the employment contingency or the employee contingency, i.e. the said particular employees that have the skill sets, the employees that have invested in themselves, the employees that have upskilled themselves, the employees that have technically invested in going to either a VTC or to university or any other platform. Now, when you got to look at these particular things, detraining or retraining, whichever one of the two, because retrain ultimately means that the budget was there. Detraining means that the budget was taken away, are talking points that firms technically used in order to redirect finances. So what happened? Now, it was noted here in this particular report that if firms are forced to pay higher wages due to the high and binding minimum wage requirements, remember, this thing was gazetted. These things were gazetted. Rational and profit-maximizing firms can react by reducing their other worker-related expenses, which includes allocations for in-house training. Firms can also disemploy, another term that is primarily also a little bit scary, which is, or they choose to recruit less or even lay off unskilled workers and hire more skilled workers to reduce overall labor costs and alleviate the pressure to provide training. Now, dear listeners, it's not to say this will ultimately happen in 2025. However, it is an element of uncertainty that poses itself here in this discussion. The question that exists out there, which was the first question, once again, and I hammer on this question, is that potentially people will be left out of the economy. People will be left out in the economy, primarily because of this. And if people are left out, once again, the discussion that would come about in our particular talking points across Namibia, this is not just us here at Eagle FM, is that people will ask, so what happened? What happened? Now, if Indonesia has highlighted this under, you know, as per the Asian Development Bank, the fears obviously are practical. The fears are palpable. Now, remember, the Security Association of Namibia have indicated that they have their own database of affiliated security companies as part of the association. But the overall contingency of businesses that operate within the security sector in Namibia, not the security cluster, which is that's the army and the police and those other guys. This is security guard sector, that sector. They counted that there's, according to them, that there's at least 200 plus companies. But what is the contingent that is associated to them as the association is approximately, what, a good 100, 120, 130 companies? They're about. The other scale, the other aspect of those companies are the companies which were touted as being the guys that are, for colloquial purposes, they're the ones chopping the big tenders and the big contracts. However, supposedly that they're the ones not paying the best rate to their guards. Now, when you highlight discussions like this, then you know that there's already pre-existing problematic elements or aspects in various sectors. Now, dear listeners, the discussion obviously from this has to beg to ask more questions about this. You would say, I would also say, yes, a minimum wage is good. Obviously, the examples coming through from Europe and other particular countries where they also introduced minimum wages. And obviously, remember, minimum wages are in their currencies, just like our minimum wages in our currency. The minimum wages there is obviously based upon the living standards over there. The question over here is the minimum wage based upon the standards over here or the living standards over here? And what are the living standards? Is this the living standards for the average Namibian? Is this the living standards for Namibians in a specific bracket, for example? Let's say they are the security guards and their earnings potential, or what they can earn, that's the living standards we're looking at, just for security guards. You ask the question, how many security guards are there? And then there's, we don't know. Remember the disparity I indicated to you? The Security Association of Namibia outlines that there is potentially more than 200 companies. But of that contingent of more than 200 companies, there's about 120, 130 that are part of, they're associated to them. Now, what about the other companies? Those that are not associated to them. What's their staff contingents? You can't ignore them because they are people there operating within the economy. You get to the construction sector, a sector that has unfortunately felt severe brunt of economic headwinds. Severe brunt of economic headwinds. Which primarily is also a discussion about, you know, they themselves who literally build things, they literally make things, they literally have so many particularly skilled people associated to a construction site. That obviously in their own specific aspect, you know, you could understand the detailed illustration of outlining what they can do and what they, you know, have to do, what they have to participate in, what particular category of employer or, skilled laborer or person on the site do they factor in. All these things, as I outline it to you, you can see the clear differences between, for example, something like the security sector and the construction sector. It's not to say, because I don't know, if the security sector is booming. I don't know. I really don't know, guys. Because once again, we're not doing those in-depth analyses based upon how many employment has been created by the sector? You still don't know. However, the fears are that of 1 January 2025, yes, I know, and it's literally the opposite of the spirit of Christmas and the spirit of, you know, this particular festive season, that potentially in 2025, people will lose their jobs in the security sector. The fears are there. The fears are there, dear listeners. Now, the idea behind the minimum wage, obviously, outlined in the three gazettes that I have here with me, have been about alleviating poverty, reducing poverty. The government uses that terminology, very clearly. It's about reducing poverty in Namibia. The minimum wage effects on employment and training, specifically according to the Asian Development Bank, thus have repercussions on overall wage and income distribution, and hence, particularly, the main aim, poverty. They outline here, the most relevant question here is, therefore, who actually benefits from setting off a minimum wage? Because the main purpose that was outlined in this particular study that they did on the effects of a minimum wage on employment levels and training for different types of workers with Indonesia was that the study uses primarily data from, you know, a little bit earlier, because the financial crash that occurred in Asia was at about 2009, thereabout. And it impacted all kinds of sectors, all kinds of businesses and firms. It impacted all kinds of various levels of Indonesian society and the likes. In Namibia, we obviously have a pro-labor or supposedly pro-labor approach with this minimum wage scenario. Now, in this minimum wage scenario discussion, dear listeners, is that it is, of course, increasingly pro-labor. And the minimum wage has become one of the main issues in the policy debate, specifically in Namibia as well, and the impact that it ultimately aims to provide. Now, before we continue, dear listeners, we're quickly taking a short break. We're going to come back right after this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Now, coming back, dear listeners, there are particular aspects, obviously, also to look forward to, because yes, if you are the lucky few, ultimately, that have done your investment into yourself, that have studied, that have upskilled, yes, the aspect of you being able to, you know, being one of the lucky few to participate in a specific discussion, that obviously being, you know, being at the front of receiving the employment opportunity, kudos. Well done. Because do you know what is one of the scenarios ultimately that exists? For example, even in the private sector, and you will hear this a lot, is competition. Competition.
You're having guests over, so you go buy some wine. But then you stop. So many choices. Red, white, rosé, orange. Orange. Rows and rows of labels with funny animals or old guys on porches. With terms like herbaceous, oxidation, acidity, terroir, you just want easy drinking. And that's exactly what you'll get with Drostehof's range of expertly blended wines. We have an easygoing blend to suit everyone's taste. Drostehof, welcome to our blend. Not for persons under the age of 18. Please drink responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo toto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna emito danjuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi tayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Now coming back, dear listeners, and the developments obviously out there has been you know, that Namibia tries to follow on where many countries obviously have also introduced minimum wages. Now, before I continue, let's first get this caller's contribution coming through. Eagle FM, good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Is it you, Uncle Bona?
Yes, sir.
How are you doing, Uncle Bona?
Thank you. All right.
Why are we so soft, Uncle Bona? It's the season for festive of cheer.
Yeah, I'm talking out of sometimes it's life.
Mm.
So never mind about that.
Mm.
So otherwise, how are you doing?
I'm all right. You, Uncle Bona?
Cool.
Mm.
So the issue of I don't know why people are resisting that change of implementing the minimum wage.
Mm.
I've read and listened to the concern of the employers.
Mm.
And what they are saying, I don't know whether they have got difficulty with the standards, the minimum, or the time frame, which I think is also in order. So, and you know very well that when we talk about asset properties, those have to be protected by the people.
Yeah.
Who are actually so-called, so to say, in the blanket, in the you know, in the category of vulnerable. So if they do not have medical aid, they don't have most of those social benefits, and you still do not want to implement the minimum wage.
Yeah.
And that's why they are saying minimum. It's not maximum.
And,
so,
and some of the concern, even Uncle Bona, sorry for quickly interjecting there. Someone explained to me primarily how some of the security companies calculate the earnings that the security guard gets. So the security guards work on a shift basis. That's now per day. And I asked, is it 7 days a week or how does it work? And primarily, it's also a notion in terms of that they have to meet sometimes a particular threshold of hours per month. And even then, Uncle Bona, that specifically that there are security companies that even if the person meets the threshold, meaning they've worked the minimum hours that they need to be paid for, that they don't get paid.
How many minimum hours?
Wow.
Why can't they align that thing with the government labor law?
With the Gazette?
I mean principle. I mean the system that works with the government.
Yeah.
Well, many other companies, they have got a system where, say for example, 8 hours.
Mm. 8 hours a day.
Yeah, and if the security cluster does not meet that minimum hours for one to get that minimum wage.
Mm.
Not even a living wage anyway that they are getting. And what's wrong with you making the environment or the system more conducive to meet the minimum hours for the person to get the minimum wage?
Mm.
What's wrong with that? What prevents that one to be implemented?
That's not a
to arrange. Mind is, I mean, it's actually internal arrangement that you can make, come up with, and say, yes, these ones who are, because if you are saying that is the reason why you cannot implement the minimum wage, to me, it is a deliberate effort, because you are actually trying not to meet that, and not allow your employer, your personnel to meet that those minimum hours, because you want do not want to give them that. You do not want to give them that minimum wage that is talked about by the law.
Yeah,
that's how I'm going to look at it, and it's actually like that. So, because what prevents you to make a proper arrangement for the people who are working within your company to meet that what you say 70?
Mm-hmm.
To meet that minimum time hours, those minimum hours, so that the people can implement it. So what did they say actually? Before I
No, Angabona, it's a shift basis in terms of the amount of hours that they work. And it's also a notion in terms of how many hours is within that shift. So now the hours ultimately have to tally up to per month, obviously, because it's now based upon like a salary payment. And then it was even outlined specifically that they are also primarily, it was now outlined who it was, the non-compliant security companies that are supposedly the ones that also don't pay out the full amount of that what the person worked for. Now,
why you see? Can you see now?
Yeah.
If they cannot pay the full amount of the people, the full amount that's worked for now, and you are saying that they cannot meet the minimum hours. What will happen if they meet the minimum hours that is prescribed by the law? And if you cannot comply with that, the law. If you cannot comply with the law, there is a regulation that should enforce you to implement that. So that's my question, is on the 60 basis. Yeah, people are 60, of course. That's good. There's no way people, but I have heard of, I have seen of security personnel who have worked double shift many a times.
Yeah.
And when they work on double shift, and you are still telling me that they have not met the minimum hours for them to qualify for the minimum wage. You understand? So this contradiction, it doesn't match.
And here's another disparity, Angabona, is because the security sector themselves, for the security guards, their minimum wage was established in 2016 at $8.75.
2016.
Yeah, 2016, 2017, yeah. Yeah, it has, 2016 on it is the date, but it was only gazetted in 2017, 15 September. That's the date that it gives here. The downside of this ultimately means that even that $8.75 is way below any level. I mean, Angabona, it's even lower than the universal bread line or the universal bread. Yeah, it's the bread line. The bread line is at $10.
You see, now that's the poverty. What do they call it again? Okay.
Yeah. The bread line is to live on every day. So it's it's based upon 200 US. It's based upon 200 Namibian dollars.
Yeah. That formula is actually. I know it's not in terms of by calculating when you are calculating that poverty line.
Yeah.
Those who are living above and below and all these things. That formula is also need to be reformed to be in line with our own economic situation and all these social policies and others. But what I understand and I agree with you when you are saying that the 8.75 is not even far behind with what your universal line that you are talking about. And if that is the case, and this one we are talking about 2017, isn't it? When it was now gadgeted. Then after that, there was that commission, which was commissioned to go and determine, the one that was read by Dr. Buduma. So now, the implementation of this thing is that, yes, so now, where is it standing now? The one that is the current one that has just been gazetted. What is the
Oh, that current level, Uncle Bono, only identifies the construction workers and construction is also at $18. It identifies construction work, the guys in the construction industry, and domestic workers and agricultural workers. I should not say farm workers, agricultural, because they are trying to be as broad as possible. But here's even the thing. Uncle Bona, the security sector was supposed to technically have $10 per hour. So they were supposed to move from $8.75. They scale it up and then they achieve $10 per hour, because the previous rate was at $6.75 to $7 Namibian dollars. So they were supposed to be at $10 already.
You see, now they were supposed to be there already, and the reason why they are not there is because there's no legal instrument to compile them, isn't it?
It's only this gazette.
And this time now, okay, no problem. This time around, and they are still saying that because they are resisting. I've read it in there. They say they don't want to implement that one. And who's going to be blamed if they do not want to implement that?
That's the thing. I wonder who is going to be blamed.
So let's see how we keep on monitoring the situation. Mm. And here, and you see those I know. Very soon, they are thinking of challenging the things legally. You remember those days when the things came and they always challenge it. They always challenge it. Mm. And even when you look at the Namibia National, the one that replaced this Black Economic Empowerment, you remember that the people were also resisting that national,
NIEF.
National Economic Empowerment Framework, what?
Yeah.
So, please, let's sensitize our people and also now create that, you know, the three-part partnership, so that the people can still engage and make sure that why is it that the employers do not want to implement that. And because all the people that you have mentioned here, the categories, they are all in the informal economic sector, most of them.
Most of them, yeah. Because it's not fixed employment that they have.
You see.
Yeah.
It's not, and their employment most of the time is not formalized. And because of that, it becomes very difficult to implement some of these clauses, you understand? So, but we want to make sure that even those who are in the informal sector economy, and that's why the formal ones, because the formal ones, you have no problem because you can always use NAPU and other to bargain. But this other one, how do you bargain? How do you have this corrective bargaining instrument and make sure that the people are not exploited in the process? So thank you very much, Edward. I think we have taken so long, and let me listen more.
No, Uncle Bon, unfortunately, we'll be ending now for a minute. Because during this holiday period.
For you, it's good because you know, it's not like a conservative. You know, the Helmut is more conservative than this.
But okay, Uncle Bono, thanks for coming through.
All right.
Now, on that note, dear listeners, it does bring us up to the end, but just to highlight to you specifically, the particular talking point obviously was that based upon will a minimum wage work? Well, actually, let me answer half a question that Uncle Bonner just outlined now in our engagement. Well, specifically, it has now been publicized that it is from the employers who are a little bit hesitant or reluctant to enact primarily on the aspect of the minimum wage or introducing it. But as we do know, since the 1st of January 2025, next year, it will come into effect, and that's now obviously for those impacted sectors and industries. And that ultimately will bring us to the end of today's program. Stay tuned for the short break following after this.
Need lightning fast internet? Paratus has you covered. The network Namibia relies on. Whether for business or pleasure, Paratus' cutting-edge technology ensures both reliable and speedy internet connectivity. We exist to serve your needs through our high-quality network and pride ourselves in offering client service excellence. Connect to Paratus today. visit us online at barrages.africa/Namibia or call us on 083-300-1000.
This is a Drostehof live read. You know when you're having guests over, so you go to the shops to pick up the wine and then you just stop. So many choices. What if you chose the wrong one? Maybe go with the fanciest one. And they all look the same. Well, now there's a blend that you can be sure of that all your guests will enjoy. Next time, choose from Drostehof's range of expertly blended wines with their easygoing flavors. Find your favorite Drostehof blend in stores everywhere. Drostehof, welcome to our blend. Not for sale for persons under the age of 18. Please drink responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite opoye ekukurile. Oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi toda njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo, o tukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM. The eye.
Listen to Eagle FM in Ludritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.